This is our class, Submission and Authority. Today's topic is the topic of excellence. Excellence. It's a very, very important topic in the church. The main text for our class. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, because hearers only are doing what? They're deceiving themselves. They're self-deceived. If you're not doing the word and just hearing the word, you're messing up. So today, boy, excellence is all about living, doing, and being the Word of God. So Proverbs 17:27, that is our first text. I'm going to read it out of the New King James and also the New Living Testament. He that hath knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So let's look at that in the New Living Translation, Proverbs 17:27. A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought to be wise when they keep silent. When they keep their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. New Living Translation. Just shut up and look smart. Another way to a corollary on the same truth is something that we got in sales training when I was a loan agent with Washington Mutual. It says that when you go to any meeting with somebody, he who comes away with the most information wins. Now, if I am sitting down with Mike Gundren and I want to talk to him about offshore fishing, should I just blab all that I know about offshore fishing? Or should I just ask the appropriate, intelligent, leading questions? Shut up and listen. Mike is an expert in offshore fishing. Mike goes offshore fishing frequently. I like offshore fishing. I want to know more about it. Should I tell him all that I know so that I can learn from him? No. I ask a few intelligent questions and then sit back and listen. That's wisdom. But that's also a spirit of excellence. A man with a spirit of excellence, a man of understanding, won't say a whole lot, but he'll definitely produce the results. Excellence is all about doing and not about yakking. Have you ever run across somebody who's all talk and no action? That's not a person of excellence, is it? But a person of excellence is a person who quietly gets the job done. Not with calling a lot of attention to themselves, but is somebody that everyone can depend on. Daniel was definitely that type of a person. Daniel was a man of excellence. And so we're going to be studying a lot in Daniel today. But before we go there, I want to just make a couple of statements about excellence. Excellence is shown in deeds. Excellence is showing up to work on time or early. Excellence is being prepared for your work. Excellence is being organized at home and at work. Excellence is shown in how you dress. I've actually had the Spirit of God correct me as I'm going out the door and just said, no, change your outfit, dress up a little more. Excellence is shown in your physical appearance. Excellence is shown on the floor of your car. Think about that for a minute. Excellence is shown by how your employer rates you. Excellence is shown by the respect that your family members have for you. They know you. Excellence is shown in an atmosphere of cleanliness, order, peace, and beauty. Excellence is often well rewarded financially. Successful people recognize it immediately. They are drawn toward a person of excellence. How many of you have ever been part of interviewing other people for a job position? Most of the room. How many of you have ever seen a few people go by and then seen somebody who had a spirit of excellence? You know it when you see it, don't you? Just, it's instantly apparent. There isn't sort of shades of gray in a spirit of excellence. It's either there or it's not. And when it's there, wow, you're on it. And you want to get that person in your organization. You want to work with that person. Instantly you do. And we're going to see about Daniel. Daniel was a member of an enemy country who was taken into the king's palace because they saw that this young man had a spirit of excellence on him, And they said, we're going to pull him in, and we're going to train him and three other guys. And we're going to train these young Jewish boys because we see this spirit of excellence on them. We're going to groom them, and we're going to use that. That these guys had it. It's either there or it's not. And you want it. And you can cultivate it. You can pray for it. You can develop this and work in this. If you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, then that Spirit of God can develop and show out a spirit of excellence. I mean, when you got born again, that spirit of excellence is there. The seed, at least in seed form, it's already there. The greater one is already at work on the inside of you. And so I want all of us to confess, believe, and cultivate a spirit of excellence in about everything that we do. Everything that we do. There are some groups that emphasize grace and emphasize love and do a very, very good job at teaching on grace and love. And yet, you tend to find in people that should be the leaders and should be strong and should be doing well, they've been walking with the Lord for a significant amount of time, and yet they're making excuses and they don't look so well and you just don't see excellence about them. It could be there, but they just weren't taught that. Their teaching and their whole stream of thinking emphasizes grace and emphasizes love and emphasizes forgiveness. And so it's all, everybody's doing second-rate stuff and just giving grace and love and forgiveness. And the whole thing just doesn't go very far, doesn't get a lot done. But then there are those who have the grace, have the love, and have the forgiveness, and yet have a spirit of excellence about them. That's a group that can change the world. Those are people that are going and doing and transforming and are successful in their Christian walk, successful in their calling, successful in their church, successful in their organization, successful in their family, successful in business, successful in finances, successful in all these areas, and not coming in second place or less than, all of these things, which really is, it's a function of doctrine. It's a function of expectation. What are you expecting from yourself? Second place is, boy, if I could just come in seventh out of this group, I'd do well. If that's your standard. Seventh place is your standard, and God will help you to get to seventh place. But if first place is your habit, and first place is your practice, and first place is your expectation, then the Spirit of God is willing to hook up with you and get you into first place in every situation. What is excellence? What's not excellence? James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Excellence is not good intentions. Christians the world over are full of good intentions without good actions. Christians the world over wish, want, hope, if only, but those who are of a spirit of excellence are doing it. Excellence is not merely doing your best. Excellence is doing more than what is expected. There are times when your best isn't enough, and that's when you need the Holy Ghost. That's when you need prayer. That's when you lean into God and you do more than your best. You bring out better than your best. You bring out what is required in that situation. And there are going to be many times when what you know and what you have done in the past is not enough for this next situation. Living things grow. Living things continue to grow and thrive. There will be times when what you've been able to accomplish in the past, what you know how to do in your own strength, is not enough for what is required in the next situation. And so you're going to have to go beyond your best. You're going to have to go beyond your ability. You're going to have to go beyond what you know. And the only way you can do that is by leaning hard into God with a great deal of prayer. And through revelation and through the strength that God provides, you can do far more than your very best. Why do Olympic records continue to get lowered? Record times just get faster and faster and faster, year after year after year, because someone sets a standard and you have to go beyond that standard. And your 10 flat that you ran last year or your 10 flat that you ran in the time trials isn't going to be enough to win the gold, and you're going to win the gold. And so you're going to run 9.2 in the finals to win the gold. And that's, you haven't run 9.2 before, but you're going to run 9.2 in the finals because that's a spirit of excellence. Because you have done all that you can to prepare. Because you have gone beyond yourself and you have disciplined yourself to go the extra mile. It will be there when the gun goes off. And you will cross the finish line at 9.2 because you have set that goal. And you said, that's where I'm going and that's what I'm doing. And even though 10 flat was the best you've ever done before, 9.2 is what you'll run today. Do you see that? Is that all right? Or are you going to live at, well, I ran 10 flat 3 years ago, and now I'm kind of running 11s right now, and if I can run 10.9 in the finals today, that'll be enough. You can continually lower the bar and lower the standards of your life, or you can continually raise the bar and raise the standards in your life. The Spirit of God is a spirit of excellence. It's not a spirit of all greasy grace and ooh. I mean, there is grace, there is forgiveness, there is love. And I'm not taking away from any of these things. But let's not lean on that stuff and do shoddy work and poor performance and be satisfied with seventh place. Let's come in first. Something very important about excellence, and you're really going to see this as we study the life of Daniel and some of these others, is that one person of excellence will carry the weight of the entire room. One person with a spirit of excellence about them will really carry the whole organization. There have been times, many times in history, when one person with a spirit of excellence has carried the nation. Many times, one person with a spirit of excellence has transformed their nation. Excellence in a person makes room for many, many other people. We'll develop that theme more. But you're going to see how one person with a spirit of excellence is often paying the bills of 10 other people. One person with a spirit of excellence is often organizing the entire endeavor for the other 10 people, maybe for the other 1,000 people. One person with a spirit of excellence is often giving vision to 10 more people, to 100 more people, to thousands more people. One person with a spirit of excellence is causing that organization to achieve, and everybody else is riding their coattails. Everybody else is receiving a bigger salary. Everybody else will get a bigger dividend. Everybody else will be able to say, I'm a member of that company, I'm a member of that organization. Many people will be able to say, yeah, that's my hometown. So-and-so is from my hometown. And it happens all the time. One person lifts up a whole area. When there's a spirit of excellence in a person, it brings out the best in those around them. They do not foster competition, but rather they foster greater cooperation and determination because of their generous attitude towards those around them. Excellence can listen to a variety of opinions and validate them while finding God's will in the situation and making that come to pass. Excellence uses prayer to go beyond what they can accomplish on their own strength. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah, everybody knows, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. But Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So they gave him this test, and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all ate vegetables, water, for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter of flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them their vegetable meals. Can I just stop there for a second and just talk a little bit about diet? That when you open the refrigerator, the Spirit of God is talking to you about what's right and what's wrong. He does. When you open a menu at the restaurant, Spirit of God is talking. I'm looking for the desserts, and the Spirit of God's going over to the salads, and you know, flesh and spirit, they're at war with each other. They are. The flesh and the spirit, they don't get along. They don't like each other. They live together. But you've got to make one your master and one your slave. And that's what you're in here for. That's why I'm trying to get your spirits excited. That's why I'm trying to talk to your spirits. I want you to know your spirit. I want you to know spiritual things. I want you to understand spiritual truth. I want you to excel in spiritual things so that your flesh does not dominate you, so that you don't make flesh decisions, but you make spiritual decisions. If you'll make spiritual decisions and not fleshly decisions, you will win in every situation in life. Verse 17, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of these days, when the king had said they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers, and all who were in his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and said thus unto him, don't destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Again, a person of excellence makes room for many other people. Daniel says, no, you don't have to kill everybody. I can fix this. A person of excellence can fix a situation so that there's not a lot of fallout. Have you ever been in a crisis where one person came up with a solution that saved everybody's tuckus, saved everybody else's bacon? There's a story in the Bible about a wise woman who saved an entire city. She comes out and she talks to David and says, David, you're about to destroy this whole city, but really, what do you really want? And David said, just send out the bad guy's head. And she said, you've got it. They lopped off the head of the bad guy, threw it over the wall to David. David said, you just saved your whole city. One wise person, one person with a spirit of excellence saved the entire city. A wise woman, person with a spirit of excellence, saved them all. Here's Daniel. Don't destroy everybody. I'll fix it. So Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, I found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But I'm cool. I can do it because I'm Daniel and I'm something else. I'm special. Look at me. What did he say? But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Who is Daniel giving credit to? Where did he get a spirit of wisdom from? Where did he get a spirit of excellence from? Where did you get your spirit of wisdom from? Where did you get your spirit of excellence from? Who gets the glory? God. Amen. And so Daniel goes on to interpret his dream. Daniel chapter 5, verse 5. He goes on to interpret another dream. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand of the plaster of the wall of the king's palace.
The king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loose and his knees were knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be called the third ruler in the kingdom." Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then the king was greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. But the queen was wise. And because of the words of the king and his lords came to the banquet hall, the queen spoke and said, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. For there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, inasmuch as an excellent spirit." This is why we're talking about Daniel, chapter 5 and verse 12. "Because there is an excellent spirit," she explains why. "There is an excellent spirit in him. Knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation." Again, Daniel saves the day because there's a spirit of excellence about him. Over and over in the book of Daniel, Daniel is seen praying and getting the answers. And he's praying not just for himself, but he's praying for the nation. He's praying for the king. He's praying with a servant's heart. He's carrying not only the nation that he is living in as a captive. You may not like the situation you're in. You may not like the household. You may not like the business. You may not like some of the situations that are going on around you. Daniel lived as a captive, and yet there was great prosperity in his situation because of his excellence, because of his prayer, because of his intercession for all. Because there was one person with a spirit of excellence, everybody did well. He was not praying just for himself. He was praying for all. And he was praying for his captors. He was praying for his oppressors. And furthermore, because he had a spirit of excellence, he was praying and receiving revelation that's benefiting us today through the Word of God. It didn't just make room for the few. It didn't just make room for the country. It didn't just make room for his people. But it made room for all mankind for eternity. A mighty fortress is our God. Is that song still relevant? Absolutely it is. Because a man named Martin Luther took a bar tune, slowed it down, and made it into a great hymn. Martin Luther wrote a song that's still a blessing today. And he wrote it hundreds of years ago. Do you see how there are things that you can do that will bless and bless and bless and bless when you get a spirit of excellence about you? But your seventh place finish won't be remembered tomorrow. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 10. This is where Daniel prays for 3 weeks, fasts and prays for 3 weeks. And when he receives the answer in verse 14, "Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for their vision refers to many days yet to come." And so Daniel in chapter 10 starts receiving revelation and starts receiving information, starts receiving wisdom that will help people many generations after him. In the time remaining, I want to talk about profiles and excellence. Let's give a couple of modern day, close to home examples of excellence. Klaus Nagel is a man of excellence in auto repair, and we've used him greatly in the sound department, and he's here helping us right now. Klaus, when you bring your car into his shop, he says, "You want it to be right, don't you?" If you ever ask for something second rate or second best, he looks at you. What do you mean? Why would you want it that way? He just has this. This is the way. I mean, there's only one standard. Why would you want? There is no other level. There's right and there's not right. Well, Klaus started saying that we needed another sound man to help him out. And so we started praying for another sound man to help him out. And we prayed and started asking for somebody who really understood sound and really wanted to just delve into it and really saw it as their hobby, and somebody who would really want to get into it and repair it and tinker with it and really get involved in it. John Hansen arrives at our church shortly thereafter. Complete answer to prayer. John Hansen would come to our church building over there about 2 times a week on weekdays, and he would repair and upgrade our sound system. He would follow a wire from the back of the room through the roof and up to the front of the room, and then he would trace the wire and he would test the wire. He would test the wire in the back of the room. He would test the wire again in the front of the room. He replaced many of our wires. He would re-solder connections. He would open up the soundboard. He would open up cabinets and stuff like that and re-solder wires and things. And then when he would find something that wasn't right or wasn't working right, he would repair it. He would take it home and repair it, and then bring it back and test it, and then test it again. John Hansen had a spirit of excellence, and our sound system was just benefited more and more and more from all that he did. He continued to buy things and upgrade things as needed without ever asking us to create a bigger budget or something like that. He never asked the church for any of the items. He just bought them and hooked them up. And you would come to work, you'd come to church on Sunday, and there'd be a new microphone in front of you. There'd be a new knob or a new device on the soundboard. There'd be a new thing that it would just be there because it was what was needed. And John would just do what was needed. And because one person with a spirit of excellence was always just providing and doing what was needed, a great door was open for all of us. Do you see this? I mean, it benefited everybody in the church. One person with a spirit of excellence. John wasn't doing this while at the same time as maybe taking this off of his tithe. John gives way more than a tenth of his income is in the plate, and yet he's still doing this, buying many hundreds of dollars of items just because it's needed. No fanfare, no nothing. It's completely anonymous, and it's very quiet. And what he has done for this church, angels know, heaven knows. The reward is fabulous. Talk to you about somebody else. Profiles in excellence. How many times have you ever seen Pastor Gigi in sweats? How many times have you seen Pastor Gigi wearing jeans with a hole in the knee? Count how many times you've seen Pastor Gigi unprepared in church, unprepared in Bible school, or unprepared in a meeting. You haven't seen it, and you won't. Notice how everything around her reflects beauty and good taste. Have you seen the lobby of a church office? Have you been to our house? Have you remember our old building? Sharp blue carpet, looked brand new all the time. Sharp chairs, they looked new all the time. Crisp white walls, looked sharp all the time. No marks on those walls. Everything was sharp. Sharp. Everything looked brand new. Is Pastor Gigi going to be happy with you getting a C in one of her classes? You might get a phone call about that, wouldn't you? You might get, before you go back out to your car, can I talk with you? You might get a private meeting with Pastor Gigi. What does she expect from you? Does she care about you? Does she care how you do? Does she only expect the best from you and sometimes better than your best? Yeah. It's a spirit of excellence, and it's infectious, and you can learn from it. Is Pastor Gigi tolerant of poor language, poor dress, poor effort, or poor excuses? None of the above. How about Jesus? Did he ever apologize? Was he ever late? Was he ever unprepared? His preparation and his perfect work made room for the entire world. Do you see that? Do you see him? He said, I am the door. Person with a spirit of excellence. And they open a door for many to go through. I just participated in the San Francisco Airport emergency crash drill in case an airplane crashes or is hijacked or anything like that. San Francisco Airport, Red Cross, local chaplains, all the county fire and emergency personnel, all the first responders of the entire county, part of this drill. There were some 50 fire trucks and ambulances and things like that at the airport last Wednesday. And it was really quite a spectacular thing to see all this. But it was amazingly organized, incredibly organized. There are people that spend, their job title is just to organize this thing. But the chaplain in charge of organizing the chaplains put a tremendous amount of effort into making sure that everybody understood their roles, their responsibilities, and they were a door, their organization, their excellence was a door through which everybody else got to walk through, and their job was very easy because somebody had put in the work. Do you think that in a Sunday school department that's run well, somebody put in the work? Somebody was organized. Somebody had the sheets out. Somebody had the coloring sheets out. Somebody had the crayons. Somebody had set it up. Somebody had put it all together so that somebody could get out of their car and walk in and sit down and go, all right, let's do this. A person with a spirit of excellence got it all ready. Which one are you? Are you the door or you're the person that walks through the door? Let's be doors. Let's be people of excellence who make room for many, many others to follow through. Do our work with a spirit of excellence and carry the weight of many, many others. Hallelujah.